Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God loves us. He loves us, and he speaks to us in the heart. Years ago, he said, when you minister my word, I'm not talking to people's minds. Speak to their heart. Don't try to convince them in their mind. Speak to their heart. The Lord speaks, always speaks to the heart, not the mind, the heart. And then once the heart is on board, the mind can be renewed. It can't, the mind, it was a wonderful thing all by itself. But without a heart, without a hungry heart, without a good and honest heart, a God-fearing, God-seeking heart, a heart that's sincere before the Lord our God and King, without that, a man can't get on board with God. But the when the wondrous works of God is the healing process of salvation is in play, renewing the heart. When the heart is renewed, the man or the woman will be God-fearing. They will be like Jesus. And when Christ is formed in you, you're born of God. And you can, you gain the skills of being Christ-like. You know, you have his fervent love. Without his love, you can't be Christ-like. When I asked the Lord to teach me to love his people and all those principles of love he taught me, I couldn't wait to love people. I couldn't wait to help people. I couldn't wait to love people when they were upset with me. It didn't matter how people acted. That's how I learned to control my emotions. I learned to be in control of my own emotions through love. See, when people are upset, they say things, the enemy uses situations and frustrations to throw you off balance so you can't be you. And there's a lot of, in strife, there's a lot of provoking going on. Well, when you have the love, that sincere love of God, it don't get provoked. And when people try to, and you stick with that love and that soft answer turns away wrath, people change. Or I've seen people become friends over this, and it works. And but as the Lord gave me revelation of his love, my ability to believe him increased. My ability to use and the principles of faith increased. The ability to remember what I had been taught increased. Patience increased. You know, everything, love, joy, all the fruits of the spirits increased. The nine gifts of the fruits of the spirit, they increased. And when God used me, when he gave me gifts, I would use them. Some people, when God gave them spiritual gifts, the nine gifts of the spirit, it's common for people to try to, they put their running shoes on when God do that. When God give them a word and it come to pass, it scares them. Some people get scared and they put their running shoes on and run. They want God to take that from them. They want to be normal. Well, I know a lot of people who the Lord dealt with, and they didn't understand authority. They didn't understand what the gifts of the Spirit could do. And being untrained, the enemy took it from them. He couldn't take it from them, but they were used to things of this world, and he used fear tactics to get them to ask God to take it away. Now this has come. It's kind of like the when God called everybody I know. Let me make sure now. I will say it this way, because I don't know every you know, most of the apostles that I know that God really gave them that calling, they put their running shoes on. Now, I met one apostle in Mississippi. I don't know whether he put his running shoes on or not, but a pastor introduced him a year before the Lord, when he was dealing with me about working in the office, in this office. I met a guy. I went to a wedding in Mississippi. That's why I was there. But while we were there for the wedding, we went to church. And at the church, the pastor walked. Now, I'm sitting on the right aisle. On the right side, I'm about midway of the church, mostly toward the back. The pastor got a young man, And they, the pastor was probably a few years older than me, and the man may have been a year or so older than me. I don't know, but they were young men. I'm about 27 or 8, I guess, and they were probably about 30 something. I don't know, but anyway, the pastor, I didn't even know him, but he walked up to me and introduced me to a minister. He said, this man is an apostle. He didn't even know my name. I don't remember whether he knew my name or not. I didn't know his name. I didn't know the apostle's name. But he introduced me to this apostle and said, this man is a real apostle. He said, he's not just saying that. He has the anointing to go with it. Now, this was in, what, 88 or 89 when this happened. It had to be 89 because in 88, Henry Groover, you know, he lifted the mantle that was bound by those two angels in Rome. And that's when around the time the Lord started dealing with me. And I said, I was kind of shocked. I didn't know why he introduced me to him. I believed him, but I didn't know why he told me that. He didn't tell me why he told me that. He did what God gave him to do. But now, this is why I bring that up. Most of the people that have that anointing, they try to hide it, but it can't be hidden because it's a glory that God gave them. It is obvious. Everybody I know that has that anointing, they it's common for people to try to run. You can't talk them into receiving that calling. They try to call themselves pastors and just preachers and reverend and this and that. And when they teach, they got the anointing. You can't hide a calling like that. When you're anointed, you can't hide it. See, that's why Jesus said, don't put your, let your light shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. Why you say hide under a bushel, I don't know, because why would you hide the light? But why would you hide it anyway? Why would you want to hide it? The Lord gave Kenneth Hagin a word about my pastor showed me the exact word, but he was saying that the words of a real apostle, they're very attractive words, and it's when they talk, any apostle, when they, I'm talking about them, not just somebody say they're a bishop because they over several churches or whatever. Not just a missionary that, you know, people call missionary. No, I'm not talking about missionaries. Sometimes missionary work, you know, people are called them apostles, but, you know, they're really doing the work of an evangelist or sometimes a pastor combined. I'm talking about people that have the apostolic calling, not people that just say they do. But when a person really has that anointing, it is obvious. You don't have to tell anybody. It speaks for itself. If they hear you talk, they're going to know it's something far different. And it can't be hidden. But that's the one people put on their running shoes so they can run from God. Now, I'm saying all these things because the Lord wants to do a mighty work through people that will hear him out. The things of God, authority of itself, trumps everything in the world. Your salvation, you're a light to the world. It's a city that can't be hid. Well, every calling of God can't be hidden. If you're a real evangelist, when you speak words, people hear. If you're a real pastor, you can counsel people in the kingdom of God, show them which way to go. A lot of people need pastors. But guess what? The traditional Roman Catholic way of pastor, they just traditionally preach on Sunday or Wednesday. But the real work of a pastor is more than just preaching. It's counseling people. A lot of people don't like to counsel because it's time consuming. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're faithful with God's sheep, God will bless you. And that person, those, when people are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, if anybody will ever get to that point, especially couples, you give me some couples that are interested in the things of God, and they don't let the devil bully them. I'm talking about real Christian people that want to know God. They don't let the devil stop them. And they take time and learn of him. Both of them, the man and the wife. Nobody's a doggone baby. I'm talking about people that want to know God. Not people that get their feelings hurt all the time. I'm talking about people that want to know him. And they become contenders for the faith. And they're not show-offs. I'm not talking about baby Christians right now. I'm not talking about the novice, half in the world, half pride. No. You know, not people, not novices. They get prone to getting pride, prone to getting fear. And I'm not talking about them folks. I'm talking about real Christian people that want to know the Lord. And you get couples of any age that has that sincerity. And they have the ability to have a bond in their home. And they train their children the way that they should go. I'm not talking about Christian people that let their children watch who whatever on the Cartoon Network. Cartoons written by communists, atheists, and all kind of folks. Just to get them out of their head. I'm talking about real Christians that know what their children are doing. They're out there. And I've seen this before, you know. I've seen parents that have a good, whole, healthy relationship with their children. And the children, you know, I've seen what can happen in that situation. Now, and I know how people do. I said, Lord, because I know a lot of Christian people, they don't really train their children, in the Word of God. If they ever trained them in the Word of God, they'll take them to church, like the Roman Catholics do. I'm not trying to criticize people, but there's a lot of traditions that we need to stop. We need to focus on the Holy Spirit for once, and stop acting like a Roman Catholic, Protestant spinoff of the Roman Catholics. We need to forget some of the stuff we've learned and picked up in the habits. And do it God's way for real. When the Lord talked to me about following him, he gave me many ideals. Many of them. But before he could reveal them, he had to get people on board that would obey him. Only. And not traditions, and not fame, not fortune, not cold religion. Not doctrine, not church doctrine, folks. I'm talking about people that live beyond all that. You know, creeds and doctrines and things like that, they're good for what they are. Where they line up with the Word. But wherever they don't line up with the Word, we need to revamp it. And we need to do it today. And this is why I say that. Because the Lord wants to do more in the lives of his people. Because he gives us his best, we need to be giving him our best, not our leftovers. My pastor said that when you tithe, tithes should come off your first fruits of your income. That's the godly, that's biblical, that's the way to do it. Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of all that he had after he won those wars against the king of nations. Now, what I want to say is this. There are things that God would reveal, but he never released me to reveal it. Because people, they don't follow him to his specifications. They follow him according to what somebody else did. Even, you know, there are things that God want to reveal. And there are ideals that he will give that will take a church forward. And sometimes I say, Lord, maybe I'm a lousy apostle because There are some things I never shared before. And I wish I could, but he never released me to it. And I did try a few times, but it didn't go over too good. Because the church right now, I was thinking today of some of the ideas that God had given. And he never really had me to pursue it. Because most people are focused on their own life. And that's why I made such a distinction. And when I was talking about, I kind of deviated talking about pastors. The real pastors that are really truly called to be pastors, they can help people get to the point where they can be mature. But if you do it the Roman Catholic way, you're only going to preach twice a week. But the people that want to know God, sometimes you may have to take time with a couple. See where they at, see what they're capable, see what they want. I'm not talking about baby Christians that don't just want to go along to get along. I'm talking about real people that want to know God. And sometimes people allow them to get through the cracks. When you're a pastor, I'm not a pastor, I'm an apostle, but the Lord taught me some things about pastoring. So that's why I say this. He qualified me to say what I'm going to say because he taught me some things. And just because I don't go broadcasting don't mean I don't know. And just because I didn't pastor a church formally don't mean that I can't. But in this role, you know, I had a boss one time. He made a statement. He said, I can get anybody in this shop to do what needs to be done. He said, because I know how to talk to them. I know them and I know what they're capable of. He said, but you have to deal with everybody different. When people try to, bosses that try to have a standard rule, everybody going to do it this way or no way, no. He was wiser than them. He said, I can get anybody in this shop to do what I need them to do or do what need to be done. Because I can deal with them individually. He said, you have to deal with them individually. And he knew how to do it, and I've seen him do it. Now, pastoring, you can counsel people when they need you to and when they want you to. Now, people that really want to know God, they want to be counseled. They want to know. When I went to Refuge Temple, I hung around Elder Lewis as much as I could. Well, if we were doing something, cleaning up the church, and he was around, or when he would be there praying, I let him finish praying, and then when we're doing something like cleaning up, fixing something, and he'll be around talking, I could ask him my revelation questions. I could ask him all kind of, and I spent time with him. And he told one of my friends, he said, that young man really tries. I'm about 20 years old, you know. I wanted to know God. And this man had a relationship with him. I said, Elder Lewis, how does God talk to you? What's it like when God talked to you? He would ask him. He gave me balance. And I spent time with him. Sometimes people don't have time for you. And they don't take time. A thoroughbred, I watched this movie called Ender's Game. And Harrison Ford was the main one of the he wasn't the main character, but he was over the group, over the students. But there was one kid, he saw something in him. This guy was a small guy. He wasn't big. He just didn't give up. If he fight, he fight. He find a way to win. And he outthought everybody. I love to watch that movie. This little kid, he called him a thoroughbred. Thoroughbreds don't come easy. They come along. But when one come to you, when God send one, you need to know it. You need to, if I was a pastor, I would spend time with the thoroughbred. Somebody that really want to know the Lord. I'm talking people that really want to know Jesus. I'm not talking about people that just backslide in and out. I'm talking about people that want to know Him. They're done with the world. They want to know God now. It doesn't matter to me if he stay at the church and benefit the church or not. A real pastor want to get people launched out of the four walls, not try to keep them in the four walls. I'm talking about, and the people that's in the four walls, everybody has a purpose. Everybody has a destiny. A real pastor help people engage in their destiny, their God-given destiny. And they help them grow from as many glories as they can enter into. Real pastors want people to become wiser than they are. That's the heart of every pastor. You watch the people that you train become greater. That's my goal as an apostle. Now, I do these broadcasts while I'm alive. The knowledge God gave me, I'm trying to transfer. He gave me much over the years. And I always wanted to see what it could do. But when you're around the wrong people, they don't detect it. It's not important. We talked about having ears to hear. You know, look at the titles that we had last week. Approval orders. Then God showed us the problem. How people don't have ears to hear. We had trouble hearing. And there was more about people that don't have ears to hear. And then covenant authority. Now what good is covenant authority if you're not going to use it? So many people learn of God. I'm not trying to criticize. Please understand. But so many people learn of God's word and don't intend to use it. In life, they don't use it. A lot of Christians learn about authority and don't use it. If they get sick, they call the ambulance before they pray. If they see trouble happen, they say, oh my. Instead of stop it, Satan in Jesus' name. Some Christians still get scared when they see danger. When they see a wreck, they don't rebuke it. They don't bind the spirit of death. Some Christians nowadays, Pastor was talking about this, Pentecostal churches that don't speak in tongues anymore. When I see a wreck, tragedy, hear about a tragedy, the first thing I do is I pray in the Holy Ghost. Because I don't know who got hurt, who they are, whatever. I pray in the Holy Ghost so the Holy Spirit can start helping somebody. So he can use my authority. And then if he give me something to specifically pray for, I'm faithful to do it. When I see trouble brewing, I say, stop it, Satan, in Jesus' name. What good is covenant authority if you throw it away, if you forget about it? Being a forgetful hearer, these are not the kind of people God can give good information to because they won't use what they already get. Now, I'm talking about people that when people are thoroughbreds, when they really want to know Jesus, when Christ is formed in them, they're doing everything they know for so that they can grow in the Lord. They mean business. Years ago, Elder Lewis had a message. He said, get down to business with God and he'll get down to business with you. That's the kind of thoroughbred. That's the kind of person, a together person. That's what I'm talking about. Some people are not like that because they live in a world where people are untoward. In Acts, you know, the apostles called the Jews an untoward generation. They were ungodly. They were not like God. They were anti-Christ. Untoward. They were nothing like Jesus. Called them an untoward generation. And now people, we grow in this Christian country we live in. There are many Christians here anyway. It's a comfortable place because we have laws that protect freedom and liberty. People can't just kill you and get away with it. So it's a halfway decent place to live. But did you know that when Satan's doing nothing, that's just an illusion? He's always doing something. He's up to no good. See, a lot of things that manifest, a lot of demonic activity that manifests in dark places of the world, you know, the missionaries will come from dark places of the world and they will see strange things take place. They will see people disappear and reappear. You know, I don't even want to talk about the witchcraft foolishness. People turning into animals and they freak people out when they come back. Well, we don't see that because we are in a safe haven, so to speak. The enemy would, if he do something too fantastic, people start trusting Jesus. They'll start looking in the Word and learning who they are. So, why, if people are lulled asleep, why wake them up? That's the devil's strategy. So, I'm not talking about people who really don't want to know God, but they'll go to church, but they don't really care about the things of God. I'm talking about people that want to know Him. And see, when I test people, I talk to them. Now, I don't go around criticizing stuff. I'm saying, sometimes I see things in people, but I know the protocol that God gave me. And I'll say things to see if they're interested, see if they'll bite, see if they're hungry. Well, if they end the conversation and move on, then if there's, you know, in my opinion, they don't really care about this. But if I'm talking and then the Holy Spirit's bringing things up and they're enjoying the conversation and hours go by, you know, I pay attention to people of that caliber because they might be the next thoroughbred. I don't know. Some people just love that things are so new to them, but, you know, if they enjoy it, I'll talk all day. But when people are, they really want to know the Lord and they have questions and they come over just to, you know, they want to talk. And I know people like that. I spend time with them. So real pastors, they spend time with people. I don't like just to preach at people and then let them go home. If I was a pastor and I had 40 members, 50 members, 150 members, I would have a time where an open door. People, I noticed that sometimes people are hungry and they'll talk to the pastor for hours. They'll just come talk. Sometimes just to talk. But sometimes they come to learn. And I would ask the Lord to help me. That's to help me minister to the thoroughbreds. I wouldn't want a thoroughbred to leave my ministry and I never helped. So the time is short. I have a new prayer that I've been praying. More than a confession. I still do my confessions. That I do all that's in God's heart. And everything like Satan's got to go. Or anything that's not... anything of Satan's got to go. I still do that. And I crave what I need the most and food. I still do those things. But there's a new prayer I got. I said, Lord, I want for every day, the last few days that we're in, I want to be covenant appropriate. And this is why I say that. As I go out in life and talk to people, if there's anybody I can help, I want God to help me do what Jesus would do in my position. I want to be so yielded to Jesus that nobody falls through the cracks. No thoroughbred get away. If there's a person I can minister to and help me do this. Because our pastor gave up, he laid hands on us to receive the double portion. And he taught the double portion. And I received the double portion. This is very and he said, you can't get the double portion watching TV. He right. You got to be active. An activated anointing does what that an activated anointing, your activated anointing works. There's nothing wrong with your activated anointing. but a dormant anointing does nothing. So I said, Lord, what good is it for me to be anointed and I don't help anybody? Or I just minister to people that listen on the broadcast. I said, wherever I go, help me for once be covenant appropriate. Now, I want to be covenant appropriate everywhere I go. Because I want to see for once some of the things, some of those ideas God gave me that I couldn't share. Now, I'll give you a brief one. I know you want to know, what are these ideas? The Lord told me something about ministry years ago. He said, when you teach and you speak, that does good. But a visual does better. A visual. If people, and I always wanted to do this. When my children were very young, I used them to give people a visual. I told them what I wanted them to do, and they did it. And I explained. How our heart works. The mind, the heart, which is the spirit, the soul, which is the mind and the body. And my oldest child, Shayna, she was the spirit. And then my son was the body. And then my youngest daughter was the flesh. And I showed, and they were staff deck, you know, the way. I gave people a visual. And I had thought, I said, I would love to minister some of these things that these concepts that I have. And have people play acting in the background to give people a better visual of what I'm saying. Now, I'm out of time, so real quick. The book, Coming to Life, at the back of it, there's a play. And it illustrates how the word works. So go to Coming to Life, click on it, on audio page 7. Go to the back of the book, there's a play that illustrates this. Consider these things.